worshiping the Lord our God. But let's open up the Word of God, and we can find help. Always find help in time of trouble. We live in a troubled world. It's okay. Christ Jesus is going to go through this world with us. Get all the way home. Turn your Bibles, please, to the book of John. Wonderful book of John. John chapter 17 and verse 4. Listen carefully at this one verse. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Jesus, of course, is the 17th chapter of John, is praying to the Father. We preached about that 3 Sundays ago. He's praying to the Father for you, for me. Because he looked ahead of time and saw you and me before we were ever born, and Jesus prayed to the Father. Then he made that statement, Father, I have glorified thee and finished the work that thou hast given me to do. I'd like to speak to you this morning on the thought, finishing the work without regret. Now, Jesus didn't have any regrets because he was perfect. He was God's son. He was God in the flesh. And he had no regrets because he said, I finished the work, everything. This morning's message is going to be taken from John chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17. Everything that we're talking about is after the Lord's Supper, which we celebrated last week, until he went into the Garden of Gethsemane, and there he was arrested, and the Bible says he was bound by the soldiers. A lot happening. And John tells so much about the ability that you and I have of, at the end of the journey of our life, whenever that is, being able to say, I have finished the work that thou hast given me to do. Wouldn't that be something? Now, within ourselves, we can't do that. Matthew, Mark, and Luke record some events also after the Lord's Supper, not mentioned in John. It was about Jesus talking to Peter. And he was telling the disciples, some of you will fail. Some of you will be offended at me. Peter says, they may, wouldn't be a bit surprised, but not me. I'll die with you if necessary. Peter meant that with all his heart. He wasn't just bragging. Within the intent of his heart, he'd already told the Lord, I know who you are. I worship you. You saved me. With every ounce of being that he had, he determined, I will not fail you. I will not deny you, no matter what. And Jesus says, you will deny me. And that same night, he denied him 3 times. But John chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 tells us why he was not able to do what he had said to do. He was not yet indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Remember, that came on the day of Pentecost, which shows you and I that without him, but thank God we're saved and we get that indwelling spirit when we get saved. Peter didn't have it yet. And it just goes to show us that without the Holy Spirit, without Jesus, send to the Father and send the Holy Spirit to indwell us. And that is a reason I want to speak to you this morning concerning that thought that at the end of a journey, wouldn't it be good for every one of us to say what Jesus said? We can't do it within ourselves, but we have the Holy Spirit living within us. We make mistakes. We make failures along the journey of life. Jesus did not. So he said, I finished the work. So let's look now, fast as we can, at 3 different things. First of all, Jesus, chapter 14, he talks about that heavenly home. We're going to look, first of all, at the revelations Jesus gives about his heavenly home. We're very familiar with John chapter 14. We preach at funerals a lot. We hear it preached probably as much as anything. But remember the setting. This is given between the Lord's Supper and the arrest. All these I'm going to talk about. And the book of John, nowhere else mentioned. So we're going to look at the revelation about his heavenly home. Let's read verse 1 and 2 of John chapter 14. He's talking about preparing a place for all of his redeemed children, for you and for I. He says in verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." He's given this revelation about the heavenly home. And he is saying, "I'm preparing a place for you." But he continues. Look at the next two verses. He's going to tell how he's going to possess his bride, the redeemed. In verse 3, he says, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." He's going to possess his bride when he comes. Gone to prepare a place for us, and that preparing, when he gets it all finished, God's going to say, "Son, go possess your bride." He's going to come and take us home to be with him and receive us unto himself. Then we need to see a precise understanding how this is going to be accomplished. One of the disciples did not understand it. "Lord, we don't know how to get there." And Jesus gives precise understanding of the only way to heaven. Look at verses 4 and 5. "And whither I go, you know, and the way, you know." And Thomas said to him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh into the Father but by me." Prepared a place for us, come and possess us, and now a precise understanding of how that's going to take place. We've looked at revelation that Jesus gives about that heavenly home, and if you're redeemed and saved by the grace of God, we're going there. But remember, we're speaking on the subject. We're not home yet. We're still down in this pilgrimage, walking with the Lord. And the title of the message, once again, is "At the End of a Journey, Will You and I Be Able to Say, I Have Finished the Work Thou Hast Given Me to Do?" Jesus was able to say that. And Peter was not, because he had not been indwelt with the Holy Spirit. It shows you and I that without the Holy Spirit, we couldn't either. But let's keep reading. Let's look, second of all, at the residor, the one that will reside, will be given to us. We're going to look at verse 15. We're going to look at the triumphant entry of the Holy Spirit within us. Jesus says in verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." The one that will reside with us, abide with us forever, and dwell us. And that's what Jesus promised when he got to that heavenly home. And then look at verse 17. "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." He knew Peter. He knew ahead of time, "Peter, you say what you will. I know you love me within all your power. You won't deny me, but you don't have the power not to. The Holy Ghost has not been given to you yet. And even though you may try, this very night you're going to deny me three times. God knows your heart. He knows my heart. He knows whether or not at the end of our journey you say, well, are you planning on dying? Well, I don't know. The Lord may take me home today. But when he takes me home, I hope and pray I'll be able to say, Lord, I have finished the work that you have given me to do. Let's dwell on that a while. Then look at verse 26. Not only the triumphant entry, but let's look at the teacher that's going to teach us how to live in this life and be able to say, I have followed you. No regrets. Verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give out to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. See, he is going to give the Comforter that triumphant entry into us, that abides with us and indwells us forever. And while he's there, he will teach us how to follow him. Boy, we sure need to learn it, don't we? Thirdly, as we look what the resider will do, let's look at the truth. The truth that's going to enable us. God's word is truth. He's going to enlighten us on the truth of his word. Look at verses. Let's turn your Bibles, please, to John 16. Let's move hurriedly through 14, 15, 16. We'll have to skip 15. This is the highlights of those great things Jesus did from the Lord's Supper until he was arrested. All these happening so fast, yeah. But God moves fast. John 16, 13. The triumphant truth. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you unto all truth, into all truth. Shall be not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will shew you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall shew it unto you. This indweller that's within us, as he indwells us, enlightens us, teaches us, and guides us. So at the end of a journey, whatever he has chosen to give you and I to do, we should be able to say, I have finished the work that you have given me to do. Let's look at one other thing. They're there in the garden now. And remember, Jesus in the other Gospels is asking them to pray too. And he goes and finds them asleep. And pray that you enter not into temptation. And they went to sleep again. They didn't mean to. They wanted to do better. But you see, the Holy Ghost had not been given them yet. They were weak. Now he has told us the Holy Ghost within us. And now he's already told them about his death. And they're there and the remorse, the sadness, the disappointments they have when they see Jesus arrested. Well, we had hoped it'd be he that would restore Israel, they were thinking. And they had remorse. But Jesus teaches, number three, that remorse that you have will be turned into joy. Let's read the text together in John chapter 16, verse 16. Jesus observes his resurrection now, even before he has been crucified. He came to die. He knew full well when he would die, where he would die. how he would die. But now he is able to look and observe the resurrection. And he's teaching them, remember. And he gave us the word, so he is teaching us also. Look how he observes his resurrection from the grave that he was going to be put to death. John 16:16. A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, what is this that he saith unto us? Now Jesus knew that they were desirous, verse 19, to ask him, and said unto them, Jesus knew their thoughts. He knows your thoughts. He knows mine. Even as you're listening to the message, even as I'm preaching, God knows every thought you're thinking. He knows whether you have the intent of serving him, whether or not right now you have the intent of being able, when you go to meet him, whether it's by death or he comes to get us, that you'll be able to say, didn't expect to die so soon, didn't expect him to come, but thank God I finished the work he gave me to do. Wouldn't that be great? Well, Jesus now observing, and he knows their thoughts. The Bible says in verse 19, now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, do you inquire among yourselves of that I said, a little while, and ye shall not see me, and again, a little while, and ye shall see me? Remember, they're in remorse right now. They're in sadness. He says, oh, but it's going to be turned into joy. Verse 20, verily, verily, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. Oh, the world was so happy to get rid of Jesus. The religious crowd, the infidels, those people that ruled the world, the Romans, he's gone. No more long sermons. No more guilt. And the world's happy. And they're in remorse. But cheer up, disciples, my children. That remorse you have will be turned into joy. Keep reading. He explains it now in verse 21. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish or joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow. And I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Whereunto have ye asked nothing in my name, ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. And we look right now, we sing songs. We know he is alive. He came forth. But yet the sorrow that we see is he was riding the donkey into Jerusalem, and they were Hosanna to the king, throwing palm leaves. But then a little bit later, so happy he's gone, the religious crowd that was. But now Jesus has given us the opportunity, and we think about the cross and all the suffering. And you women know quite well this, had children. We men don't know much about it, except we saw your anguish. We saw your labor. We saw the hurt you were having delivering that child. And I can answer for you, but Jesus says, when the child was born, he kind of forgot all about it. Why? Because a child was born. And Jesus died on the cross, and we see the suffering, we see the blood, we see the rejection, and we cry. Thank God for the resurrection. And because of that, you and I will be able to receive the Holy Ghost when we get saved, that will guide us, that will teach us, that will enable us to know the scriptures, make application to our heart. The remorse, it will turn into joy. We've seen that he observed what was going to happen even before it happened. Now Jesus says, I have overcome the world. Look at verse 25 through 28. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall shew you plainly of the Father. At that day you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because you have loved me and have believed what I came, that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father, and am coming to the world again. I leave the world and go to the Father. You want to be an overcomer? Last verse, verse 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. He's teaching us, he's teaching them. Within ourselves we can do nothing, but we are indwelt. Biden, the Holy Ghost within us, is teaching us, leading us, guiding us. And the sadness that we had about the sins of the world and the sin that we're in and despair, turned into joy because of the Holy Ghost, because he has overcome the world, and we're overcomers also. I want to speak lastly, make it personal. Every one of us, no doubt, have regrets up to now about how probably have disappointed the Lord. When I go to the up on the mountain where I pastored my first church, I go up there, and as I'm going up there for a funeral or whatever, those years I was there, the thought comes to me, did I obey the Lord? Did I do for him what was expected of me? No doubt I failed him miserably, but I sure did try. In fact, I was elected to the church and told him I'd give him 30-day notice when I left. So Fletcher elected me, and like I promised, gave him a 30-day notice. And my heart was there so much with them. You know, a lot of pastors, probably most of them, when they resign, their last Sunday, their last day with them is on the Sunday, not me. I said, my first Sunday at Fletcher won't be until next Sunday, so you have me as your pastor until midnight on Saturday night. I wasn't thinking that they even know. My heart was there. I wanted to do everything possible that the Lord told me to do. As far as I know, my heart was there, and I really tried. And then a few months later, I said, count up the days that you were there. And from the first day I went until that Saturday night I left, 7 years, 7 months, 7 days. God had it all worked out. When I go, I say, Lord, but I carry that into everything. I've been here 31 years, and you say, well, the way he's preaching, he may be planning on leave. I don't plan on it. If you know something I don't, let me know. But God knows. But when I leave, and as I leave, I want to be able to say, not just the whole thing, but every day, you know, you give me a salary. And 24 hours a day, I should be able to say, Lord, am I hearing your voice? Am I serving you? Am I doing what you want me to do? Because at the end of the journey, I want to do, as Jesus did, I have finished the work that they have given me to do. I even apply that into when I promised, you know, someone that's paying me a salary. I worked at General Electric and did a, God gave me a wonderful job. And when I retired, there was two big projects that I was working on that wasn't finished, and there was nobody else there that really knew all I'd put in, didn't know how to finish them. It's cost reduction, good for the company. You know what I did? I went back 3 days after I left and worked for free Why? Because I had not finished all that I promised myself I would do. They didn't expect it. But you see, they had paid me a salary, and they'd give me a job, and I wasn't slacking. It just took longer than I thought to finish it. And I wonder, so now when I pass General Electric, what used to be General Electric on Spartanburg Highway, I could have done better. Because see, not only was I doing projects, there was people involved. A witness. Everywhere God puts you, you are a witness. Did I live a life before them on the job that they could see Christ in me? I sure tried. And so for the most part, when I pass General Electric, I can say, you gave me that job, God. It's a good job, and I met a lot of friends. In fact, we got a lot of people right here with us every Sunday that works at General Electric, too. And they know me, and I'm not much. But he that's within me, let the light shine for others to see Christ in you. And when the Lord allows me to go home to be with him, or for whatever reason I leave Fletcher First Baptist Church, I sure do want to say, Lord, I have finished the work that you have given me to do with no regret. That's the thing. Finish the work and don't look back and say, I didn't follow you. I didn't listen to you daily. I did not do what you expected me to do. But now let's apply it to you. I've talked a lot about myself. Many of us have accepted jobs in the church. And the church expected you to do those jobs. And at the end of your nomination, whatever, or the job you have, will you be able to say, Lord, I have finished the work that you gave me to do? Personal question. None of us are perfect. Would you stand this morning? Your heads are bowed. You see, Peter in those people wanted to serve Christ with all their heart, but without the Holy Ghost. And we've been taught in the book of John 14, 15, 16, 17 that Jesus prayed for us ahead of time and told us about heaven, told us about the Holy Ghost, empowered us, taught us, teaching us. And as he has overcome, we're overcomers. Would you please come to the piano or play whatever God puts on your heart? Altar's open. Question is asked. By the Lord, I believe. Do you have a desire in your heart that you can say, Lord, I finished the work that you've given me to do? Altar's open. Can't do it within yourself. Prime example, Peter. The other disciples, Peter, James, and John, were chosen. Pray with us. Pray with me, Jesus said. Pray with me three times. They wanted to. It wasn't in their power to do because they were in the flesh. Saved, yes. But the Holy Ghost wasn't indwelling them yet. We don't have that excuse. When you got saved, he came to indwell and abide in you, to teach you, to guide you into all truth. We are without excuse. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the wonderful opportunity it is to proclaim your word. How you have prepared a place for us. And we're possessed by the Holy Spirit. We know, Heavenly Father, you're coming to get us. And this world is a troubled world. But you left us in it with a promise. You'd never leave us nor forsake us. Go through us until the end. And yes, there is travail, and yes, there is sorrows. Thank you, Father, that it will be turning to joy when we see Jesus. Help us, Father, to be more like you. Be all you expect us to be. In Jesus' name, for your glory, for your praise, for your honor. Thank you for song service today, for your precious word. We celebrate this season. Yes, there's sadness and remorse about all the suffering. And there's certainly remorse and sadness about people hurting and the sin in people's life, and they won't receive Jesus. Father, if they just open up their hearts and receive your word, that remorse will be turned into joy. Thank you for the promise. Thank you for fulfillment of that promise. In thy name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen.